Good morning, folks. It's certainly good to be here today. We're thankful to God for the day that He has given us, and it's a wonderful opportunity for us to worship our great God. I want to encourage you to take out your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Micah, if you will. I'll give you a little bit of time to find that in your Old Testament. Dan, I've got a little bit of reverb here. I don't know if we can cut that down just a little bit. Just want to say how good it is to be back with you after about 11 days in Mexico. I had a very, very good trip, a productive trip. Those weeks are two of the hardest weeks usually of my year, but two of the most rewarding weeks of my year. And things that I look forward to, the brethren there and the work that we're able to do in some of the communities in the jungle and some other places that I was able to go. And maybe we'll have a chance to talk about that a little bit further. An opportunity to see Carlos that we support, and also a new man that we plan on helping in 2021, a man by the name of Elber Espinosa. And want to just make mention to you that the 23rd of December, Elber is going to join us. He speaks English and is going to tell us a little bit about the work there and give us a short invitation. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we approach that. But please continue to pray for those men. And we continue to try to increase the men that we support. Our giving is consistent. It is good. Hopefully that will increase as we look to support more men, the preaching of the gospel. That's an encouragement to us as elders. It's an encouragement for this congregation that we're able to do that. And we look forward to that in 2021. Want for us to take our Bibles out together this morning and look at some things from God's Word that I hope will be an encouragement to us in our lives. Have you ever broken anything? I think for me, as I think about my life growing up, as one of four boys, it seems like that was a daily occurrence for us. Most of the time it was Josh that was breaking something, but it seems as if just about every day or every few days, we were breaking something. Maybe that's why Mom and Dad never bought anything new. It was always something used. But that's a constant thing that we think about, and probably as kids we can appreciate that, those of us with kids. We break things. Maybe we've broken a bone or two, or maybe we've broken someone else's bones. My son is responsible for two broken ribs for me and a broken nose on two different occasions. And that happens sometimes with individuals and our interactions with one another and things of that sort. Most of the time when we break things, that's negative. Most of the time when things are broken, we think of that in a negative sense. But there certainly are times when we think about positive breaks. We think about taking a break. We think about give me a break, or the breaking of dawn, or the breaking of bread, or a fever breaks. Those are good things. And when God breaks things, they're good. And I want to talk about that with you for a few minutes this morning. The things that God breaks. As I was traveling to Mexico, I had the opportunity to open up my little small King James Bible. I have a travel Bible that I take with me. And came to a passage in Micah and chapter 2 that I want to use for the text for our study together this morning, Micah chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. And we find a designation of God here in this passage that I found interesting, and one that I had not seen before. I usually use the New King James. It reads a little bit differently, but the King James Version has this description of what God will do, and most likely here, as we think about the messianic nature of this passage, that would be applying to Jesus Christ. But Micah 2 and verses 12 and 13. He says, I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep in the fold, like a flock in the midst of its pasture. They will be noisy with men. The breaker goes up before them. They break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. So their king goes on before them, and the Lord at their head. That's a designation of the Lord that I had not seen before. And it kind of caught my attention as I was reading that passage the idea of the Lord being a breaker. Well, look at that. Think about that for a few minutes with you. What does it mean that the Lord is a breaker? The idea there, as we think about it, is one that opens up the breach or provides a breakthrough. And certainly we need that. We need a way out from our circumstances. We need a breakthrough to get to a place that's better than the one that we are in terms of our sin. And the Lord will do that. And we have these designations here in this passage. The idea of one that also would be a shepherd. And back in the olden times, and this picture of him breaking out is probably in a dual nature here used. Not only would he be one that might break through a fortress or perhaps a rampart or some sort of defense, but as a shepherd, they would gather up their sheep into the sheepfold. And at night, they would take and make a wall all around themselves in that sheepfold so that predators could not come in. And in the morning, they would take that enclosure and they would break it open again and come out with those sheep. And the shepherd would lead the sheep out. And so we have this designation of him being a leader that would go before the people. That he would be an example and that he would be the one that we would follow. We think about passages like Hebrews 12 and verse 2, which talks about the Lord as being a pioneer or being a trailblazer. Folks, we need to follow the Lord. It's his footsteps that we follow. And those footsteps, we see in those footsteps, we can't mistake them because they have a pierced hole in them. You can't mistake those footsteps. They're distinguishable from others. And what he does is that he makes the impossible possible. We need to let him go first. We need to let him lead. Our problem a lot of times is that we outrun him. We go too far. We pass him by. And we go further than we ought to go. We anticipate things. Instead of following him, we get ahead of ourselves. You think about that statement that we make sometimes, that common statement, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Maybe think about the reverse of that. Well, oftentimes what we do, and maybe the reverse of that would be never cross a bridge before you come to it. But sometimes we do. We get ahead of ourselves. We manufacture problems. We think about things that really don't exist. We cause troubles for ourselves. We get ahead of ourselves instead of following the one that we should. We run ahead. We ought not to be filled with imaginary troubles, but to follow him. And so here are these other two designations in this passage. This king that leads. He's not an inactive figurehead that's somewhere on a throne doing nothing in a back room. He is leading us as the king to victory. And he is our great Lord, Jehovah God. These are great. You think about all the names. Here's these designations and so many more that speak to who God is, to speak to who Jesus is. And these are descriptive terms that talk about his greatness and who he is and his majesty and all of these wonderful designations of who he is. These things that we see in him, these names that we see in him. And the one name that's not on there is, at least one of the names that's not on there, is the one I want to talk about. That idea of a breaker. He is the breaker. These names of the Lord are really encapsulated in one name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, Proverbs 18:10. The righteous man runs to it and is safe. In Philippians 2 and verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. But yet, one that wears the crown as King of Kings and Lord of Lords has many names, many designations. And this one of the breaker is one I want for us to talk about. He breaks things. And the first thing that we need to think about him breaking, after we notice the fact that in the context of Micah, in Micah chapter 2, in the context of this great passage that talks about that, there are all of these judgments. There are all of these things that are said that are warnings, and oftentimes interspersed in the warnings of God and the things that maybe he says in deference to or in contrast to what the people were doing, there is this great promise. And so Micah talks about judgment. Micah talks about the things that they were doing that are wrong. The declarations that they would make that are not right. The violence that they had. The misplaced confidence in their relationship with the Lord. We're going to be okay. Doesn't matter what we do, God's going to take care of us. Many other things we see in the book of Micah. But interspersed in all of those warnings is this statement about him being the breaker. And we need reminders sometimes in the midst of difficult circumstances that there is one that can break a way out for us. And he certainly did that for the people in the book of Micah as he looked prospectively to what he would do going forward. He is a breaker. And folks, I think the first thing that he breaks is a man and himself. He breaks a man and himself. We need to be broken. We need to be broken. And the Lord breaks us. Our heart must be broken by him. And it's that gospel, that double-edged sword that pierces to the very deepest part of us, that cuts down and we cut to the heart by the message of the gospel. And it breaks inside of us, inside of this heart that oftentimes, as we describe it in that song, a stubborn will that at last sets you. We need to be broken. We need our stubbornness and our self-dependency and all of those things that come to us to be broken. And until he gets to our heart, until he gets to our heart, we will never be at peace with ourselves. Until he breaks through to us. And hearts are such hard things. Look at the book of Ezekiel and chapter 11 and verse 19. Ezekiel 11 and verse 19. God wants to break up hearts of stone. To break in and reside there and then put it all back together. But he's got to get through first into that deepest part of us and take up residency there and then put us back together and reside in that place. We have to allow for that. He promises that that's what he looked to do in the book of Ezekiel. Prophetically, in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 11 and verse 19. He says, then, looking forward in this prophetic way to the horizon of the coming of Christ and the Messiah, he says in verse 19, then I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within them. And take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. The same thing is found in chapter 36 in our reading that Richard read for us. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. He's got to get through to us, though. And he's got to break through that stony heart, and we've got to allow for that in our lives. The bond of a guilty conscience can be broken. In Psalm 116 and verse 26, so many times we play the tough guy. People ask us, are we okay? And we say, yeah, doing fine. And we're independent. And we act as if we don't need anything. And we act as if that we're just okay in this life and we're able to handle all of this ourselves and be the tough guy and get through. And our dependence is upon ourselves. In Psalm 116 and verse 26, and thinking about that and thinking about this breaker that must break that kind of idea in our lives, Psalm 116, and that doesn't look like that's the right verse. I don't think there's 26 verses in Psalm 116, but he talks about there that idea in that psalm of that breaking of a conscience. Verse 16, not verse 26. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds.
men and women have to live with themselves.
There was a time in my life when I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. I remember that time very well. When I couldn't sleep, when a guilty conscience had a hold on me, and it wasn't until the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Son of God broke through that hard heart of mine that I found peace. And so that has to happen. That breaker needs to get through to us and to change us. And there is a barrier oftentimes to doing that and to having those things that can be affected by Him. Look over at Ephesians chapter 2. There's another thing that I want to notice when it comes to this breaker. And that is that He breaks the barrier between a man and other men. Not only with a man and himself, but with a man and other men. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 through 16, we have this concept mentioned here of that which was separated, that which produced this great gulf between people, has now been destroyed and broken by this breaker. And He has taken that which divided men, Gentiles, Jews, and has brought them together in one place. And He talks about that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 13 through 16. Once that great distance, which was infinite, has now become a nearness, which is intimate. Things have changed. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off has been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new from the two, thus making peace. That ultimate unity that man seeks in this world in which we live is ultimately found in Jesus Christ. And all of the problems, and we think about all of the relational problems that people have in this world, that all of those relational problems, the principal answer to those relational problems, whatever means that we think about that, is not some social movement. Now that may have an effect. There may be a wellness that can be achieved by those things, by governmental programs, by social movements. There's a wellness that may be achieved in those things, but ultimately that can only be found in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where that unity can be found, in an ultimate sense. The kingdoms of men and those ideas, look back at the book of Daniel and think about this breaking. Broken the nations. He has broken in terms of bringing men together. He has broken all of those different nations and all of those different peoples, whether it's color or whether it's economics or whatever it may be. He has abolished all of that in His kingdom. In the ultimate sense, in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 34, Daniel watched while a stone was cut out without hands, and then that stone struck that image, and that image is representative of kingdoms in that place. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 34. Look at verse 44. Look at this idea of the breaking that we're talking about. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Daniel 2 and verse 44 talks about that kingdom that would come, that kingdom that we're a part of. In a spiritual sense, which brings men together, which has broken down that wall of separation. He says in verse 44, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. There is a fellowship there, and all of that division and the nations and the differences are all brought together in one place. He's broken that system. Spiritually, He has broken that system. Psalm 2 and verse 9, broken the nations with a rod of iron, and he has established his. And there's no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. They have all come together in one place, and he has broken down all of those dividing factors. He's changed the relationship that we have with men, no doubt in this place, but also when we think about the love of Christ, which compels us in terms of our relationship with other men. He's broken down that barrier. But the most important barrier, perhaps, when we think about this breaker, is the barrier between us and God. He has broken that barrier between a man and God. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, Jesus says so many times that if the Son has made you free, you will be free indeed. There is freedom to be found in him. And he has broken man, first of all, free from the prison of sin. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, he's changed everything for us. We sing a song. It's written by Charles Wesley. And that song is Can It Be? There's a verse that I don't think is in the version that we sing. I may be forgetting that. But originally when he wrote that, he wrote this verse that says, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. This is the freedom that we can have in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. After this great passage that talks about baptism, being buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, no longer under the bondage of sin, but now bound to him. In verse 14 it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And he talks about that bondage as we look at some of these passages here before that, talking about freedom that we have. That death no longer has dominion over him. That we are dead indeed to sin, verse 11, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. David made a statement in the Old Testament when he was thinking about the way that he was in sin. He just talks about what a burden that was to him. And how he was carrying that around with him. And as he's thinking about his sins, he says, my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. God can break those burdens into a thousand pieces. And he has broken that barrier between God and man. The sad thing in this life is that many people think that they are free. And they don't see that they're in bondage. They don't recognize that. But I would tell you that their freedom, as they perceive it, is much like the freedom that a convicted criminal might feel in his jail cell. That he is free to walk around. That he can look outside of those bars, or he can look through the keyhole, or to some ray of light that might come into that cell, or maybe walking on the prison grounds. But it's not freedom in the truest sense. There's only freedom found in Jesus Christ. That man knows nothing of freedom. He thinks he's free, but he's not. Galatians 5 and verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He has broken the yoke, broken man free from the prison of sin, and broken the yoke that the Jews were unable to bear in the law. We've talked about the law a lot over the last 18 months in our study of the book of Romans, and how the keeping of that law, the Old Testament, the perfection that was sought by many of those Jews was not going to bring freedom, that no man could keep that law. The perfect law keeping would never do that. But God broke that yoke and he nailed that old law to the cross. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. That's been taken away. That's been broken as well, that yoke. But far when we think about how wonderful this is, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54. That he has broken the power of death over us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54. Jesus broke forth from the tomb, crying, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and death. Acts chapter 2 and verse 24. Revelation 1 and verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is such a wonderful passage. It talks about the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the defeat of death. Look at verse 54 here, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 54. Paul says here, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord, Jesus Christ. Folks, Muhammad rests in a tomb. Jesus broke out of one. And death is just a shadow. Death is now just a shadow. It has no bite to it. There is that shadow, and that shadow is that which, as Spurgeon said, that death now is nothing but the shadow of the bright light of heaven as a result of what the breaker did. Do you see all that he has broken? You see all that he has done? He has broken so many things. The veil of the temple was broken. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, we see that it was rent in two from top to bottom, and that veil was forevermore removed. That which would keep anybody from coming into the presence of the Lord was now taken away. The way is now open for all men to God. Look back at Matthew chapter 27 for just a moment and notice also that there was a seal on the grave, and now that seal has been broken. The God that breaks things, and the things that he breaks are wonderful things. The very things that we needed for him to break. In Matthew chapter 27, we see in verse 51 that the veil of the temple was broken. And then in verse 66 of Matthew chapter 27, it says, so they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Well, that did no good whatsoever, because the Lord broke out of that, broke the seal, broke through that legion of guards that was there. The graves were broken. The rocks were broken and split. The earth shook. Graves were open and saints came out of those graves. He is the great breaker. And everything that man needed, folks, to be put back together happened when he broke those things. Everything that we needed to be put back together was accomplished when he broke those things. I'm thankful for that breaker. Every first day of the week, we break the bread. And I hope that as we break the bread this morning, that we might remember the breaker that has done all of this for us. The Lord is the breaker. And as we look back at that passage in Micah, he asks, or tells us that those that are related to him, those that are connected with him, will break forth too. We might ask this question this morning, are you among those who have broken out and passed through the gate and have gone out by it? Has our King gone out before us? Is the Lord at the head? Do you dread sin? He has given forgiveness. Do you fear death? He has broken that to pieces. Are you afraid of hell? God has made a way to heaven. What a wonderful designation that is of the Lord. This morning, perhaps there's someone here that needs to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The dread of separation, fear of death, the guilt of sin, our brokenness, our hopelessness, all of that has been broken by the great breaker. There is someone here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to come to Him and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. We hope you'll let us know about that. Our baptistry is empty right now, but we can find a place to do that if we need to. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your attention. God bless us. Hopefully this lesson will help us to think about all of those things that we need breaking in our lives by this wonderful Savior that we have. We can help you in any way. Won't you come while we stand? While we stand.